Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get so the lights go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7, The Game.
Santos, the inbound. Screen set, Curry gets a bounce pass, and there's your ball game. Okay, now we can say it. The Warriors have come away with a 2-2 wind-chill road trip. Final score, Golden State 116 and Minnesota 115.
Well, just about as unconventional of a wire-to-wire win as we've seen all season for the Golden State Warriors, but they do find a way to get it done. They outlast, they maneuver around, they somehow survive the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight in 2-degree weather, by the way, and they beat Minnesota 116-115, and they are back to 500. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. First things first, phone number 888-957-9570 if you want to get in on the conversation and let us know what you thought about tonight, what you thought about where the Warriors are at. Because they are right now, and have been, I think, for the majority of the last 2 months, the definition of a 500 basketball team. They're 20-20. They're 10-10 on the road. They just wrap up a 2-2 road trip. They're also 12-12 in clutch games. I mean, everything about this Warriors group lends itself to the question, which side of 500 are they on? Because what I saw tonight was a team that looks like it should be on the plus side of 500. And the reason for that is I thought it was the most effort and energy that they've shown for 48 minutes. And don't get me wrong, they made some mistakes as they usually do. There were some boneheaded decisions. There were some potentially costly mistakes that they made. But again, they were able to persevere and get through them and get a much needed victory to get back to 500. You know, so overall, I think this is a game that to me, the energy is really where it starts. And of course, it's on the heels of what many would identify as the lowest point of their season, losing in Toronto, who, by the way, just beat the Boston Celtics tonight. Not a too shabby team there. But they lose to Toronto on the heels of, you know, going 7-17 over the last 24 games. They've pretty much flipped the script of what was, I think, a promising start in 12-3. And they end up in a position where now they're clawing to keep their heads above water. And tonight, they did that. Their backs were against the wall tonight as they fell below 500 for the first time. And I don't think it's any coincidence that after Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, to some extent Draymond Green, come out and people felt like they were waving the white flag, they bounced back with their most energetic, effortful game so far this season. And I would go as far as to say it's the best win they've had since early December. Maybe the best win they've had since the last time they were in Minnesota. And it sucks, but they're not going to be playing the Timberwolves anymore this season because they wrap up the season series winning 3-1 after they got swept by them three times last year. So they also turned that narrative on their heads. But the Warriors get a much-needed win, and they do it in a way I think that is what I'm looking for. Like, I don't know what everybody is now kind of, I don't know, thinking about this basketball team, and we'll have some sound from Steve Kerr that I think is very illuminating as to where the Warriors are at in the present, not necessarily just thinking about the future. Steph Curry also threw a shot across the bow on the ESPN broadcast saying everybody who's on Twitter talking about us giving up can basically shut the hell up. And I'm kind of with him. Steph Curry played a season-high 37 minutes tonight. He scored 31 points, had two massive threes down the stretch of that game. That does not look like a player to me that is waving the white flag on this season. Steph Curry didn't look like a player that's just willing to give up. And even though I think a lot of his comments were misconstrued or misinterpreted about him basically just saying, well, this is what my future is going to be resigned to, that's not how he is. That's what makes him the most unique superstar I think I've ever seen in sports, is in one breath, he can be the pragmatic, realistic, logical, big picture individual that can look at this situation and say, we don't have enough to win a championship. And on the very next game, be the siloed, you know, kind of tunnel vision type of individual that goes out there and says, I don't give a F. I don't care because I'm here to win. And I'm going to try and win every single game possible. We saw Steph exuberant. We saw Steph enthusiastic. We saw him throwing up the threes after hitting a big one down the stretch, stepping the free throw line, essentially icing the game for the Warriors. You know, that was a Steph Curry tonight that we've seen for a long period of time. And so I think it also does beg the question, again, at 888-957-9570, Evan Gaining's with you on Warriors wrap-up here on 95.7 The Game. You know, does it have fans feeling one way or another? Or does it have them feeling right in the middle, which is where the Warriors are right now, again, at 20-20? You know, does it have fans feeling, I guess, perhaps, you know, helpless? The fact that reinforcements may not come in the fashion that we expect. I would also argue that players are trying to prove that they deserve help. You know, after the last couple of weeks, it hasn't really been a reason, I think, to go out and try and say, well, we got to get this guy help. We got to swing big for a big move. But if the Warriors play with that kind of energy tonight that they displayed in Minnesota, we'll get into some of the specifics of the game. I think that the Timberwolves themselves offer an interesting and, you know, quite frankly, positive matchup for the Warriors. But overall, if they play with that kind of energy and effort, like, this is a team that I do think that the front office, who's got, by the way, three more weeks, is absolutely going to consider how they can upgrade it. Because I think this is a basketball team that, to me, is not a championship contender. They told us that this week. They're realistic about it. But it doesn't mean that they're all of a sudden a bottom feeder. And again, that's the term that Curry used this summer about not wanting to be in. And I think when we heard him for the first time, and kind of the Warriors triumvirate of Curry, Draymond, and Kerr come out and say that they're not mortgaging the future for the now, it sounds like they're just, you know, basically hands up, what are we going to do? Like, they're content with their current situation. And tonight, I didn't see a team that was content with their current situation. You know, one little quote, I think that got lost in all of the, I don't know, the brouhaha of, you know, Curry, Kerr, and Draymond talking about the future, was the fact that after the Raptors game, Kerr actually stormed off of that press conference. When someone, I think it was Danny Ammerman of the San Jose Mercury News, asked him if he likes being in this position, which is below 500. And he cut him off and he said, no, I don't like being below 500. And he slammed the desk and he walked up after that answer. And of course, that was after, or I should say, you know, after him having the reflective conversation with Anthony Slater about what the future holds for the Warriors and how even if he's not here, doesn't he want to mortgage the future for the present? So again, two things can be true. The Warriors can be the realists. They can also be the competitive, fiery group that we saw tonight. The two things are not mutually exclusive. And that to me is what I saw tonight. I saw a different energy. I did not see a team that is waving the white flag. I saw a team that we've kind of seen for the majority of this year, which is we don't know which team is going to show up. Tonight, we got the team that was hitting threes, that was banging bodies down low, that was getting to the free throw line, that was also banged up, still didn't have Kuminga tonight. Gary Payton II came back and I thought played pretty well outside of a couple of perhaps questionable decisions, most notably defensively down the stretch of that game. But you know, I saw a team that was getting after it on the glass. I saw a team that was attempting to try and find some sort of, again, just consistency where they haven't for the majority of the year. I thought Curry was the head of the snake. Andrew Wiggins was fantastic in his return to Minnesota. Had 18 points in the second half, the majority of which he did at the free throw line. They fought tonight, and that's what the Warriors had to do in this situation. And honestly, win or loss. Like, if the Warriors had somehow lost this basketball game, sure, we'd be talking about how hard-fought of a loss it is. But I do think that I would have the same tone, because while I can say that this was the best win I've seen since early December, maybe even going back into November. I'm not sure how you kind of stack it up, which is also a sign that things have gone off the rails. I would also say that this is the most energetic I've seen the Warriors since their 12-3 start. Once they hit that kind of 5-6 game losing streak, they lost their mojo. Tonight, I thought they had it. And they had it because they got effort from players that had to step up. You know, I realize that Draymond didn't play in this game tonight. Jonathan Kuminga didn't play in this game tonight. Brandon Podziemski didn't play in this game tonight. But Gui Santos was active. Trayce Jackson-Davis with 15 freaking rebounds, 9 offensive, was active. Kevon Looney, I thought, was sensational off the bench. Maybe made the biggest pass of the game, biggest two passes of the game to Curry in the corner for those threes that helped them get over the top. He had 6 assists tonight. That was second most on the Warriors. Gary Payton II brought energy. Moses Moody brought energy tonight. That's something that the Warriors have not had, I would say, for the last month and a half. And that, to me, is really where you can see a game that they might be able to build on. I'm not going to say they're going to just, you know, cakewalk through the rest of the season, that they'll even get back on track, because you cannot overlook any team if you're the Warriors right now, who, by the way, will play Jordan Poole and the Washington Wizards on Saturday. That's not a game that you can just expect them to win. But if they bring the effort that they brought tonight, specifically on the defensive end of the floor against an all-out, extremely physical Minnesota Timberwolves group, I do think we can begin to look at this team as turning a corner back towards being the team that was closer, again, not a 12-3 start, but a team that had that sort of energy, that mojo, as opposed to the team the last 24 games that seemingly is going to lose in this type of situation. This is a game tonight that if they played like they have the last month and a half, they absolutely lose. And it's funny, we're taking bets here in the office, not actually, but you know, we're saying, oh, do you think they pull it out? Do you think they blow this game? And honestly, it was even. Some people here in the office were saying, oh my God, the Warriors are going to lose this game. It's just going to be like another one. A couple of people in the office are saying, you know what? I think they actually might win tonight. And lo and behold, you flip a coin and it landed heads, assuming that the Warriors called heads, because that's kind of what they've been right now. They're a coin flip team. They're 20-20. They're 10-10 on the road. They just finished a 2-2 trip. They are the epitome of a 500 team. But what that isn't is a bottom feeder like everybody was calling them and assuming that they would be for the remainder of this season when the triumvirate of the Warriors supposedly waved the white flag. That I did not see tonight. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors wrap-up. For the 510, I wholeheartedly agree. Maybe the best full-game defensive effort from the Warriors this year, considering how depleted they are with injuries. Great to see GP2 back. He is a disruptor. Also a reminder that you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live in the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. I'm with you, 510. I think that was the kind of defensive effort that Steve Kerr has been asking for, has been, I don't know, trying to find some way to extract from his group. And, I mean, let's just go down the stretch of this game, because it was all over the place. Like, in the first half, I thought the Warriors played pretty well. I think the energy and effort to me was kind of exemplified by Gui Santos. Even though he had 3 personal fouls, his energy was Draymond-like, which was something that they were obviously missing tonight with Draymond being under the weather, woke up ill, not being available. I thought that someone like Dennis Schroeder had a nice first half for them. Curry came out aggressive, hitting his first 4 threes and having a 12-point first quarter. You know, they limited Anthony Edwards, who's obviously a sensational scorer, in a lot of different ways, to the point where Dante DiVincenzo was probably the most lethal player offensively tonight for Minnesota as far as a threat to shoot the basketball. He ended up with 28, as did Edwards, but Dante DiVincenzo was the guy that apparently the Warriors had to keep in front of them, keep an eye on, shooting 6 of 12 from 3-point range, also had 9 assists and 0 turnovers. So Dante DiVincenzo played a really good game for them as kind of the de facto second option alongside Anthony Edwards. And then also just the turnovers that they forced. They forced, I believe it was 9 turnovers in the first half the Warriors did, and got 17 points off of them. That, to me, indicates that they, right out of the chute, they were running, they were active, they were getting out in transition. And, you know, to me, that's the kind of energy that they needed to keep throughout the entire game, because also you're right, 415, they only won the first quarter. But that to me is the kind of opposite, the antithesis of, I'll call it a fit stat, because Bob Fitzgerald is the guy that consistently points out that when the Warriors lose, they actually won the last three quarters. Well, I hate to break it to you, you win the final score, you win the game. And the Warriors won it in that first quarter with their effort on the defensive end. The Minnesota Timberwolves had 5 points for the first 8 minutes of this game. And yes, they missed some open shots, but to me, again, the Warriors figured out how they could confuse Minnesota, how they could make things difficult, specifically for Anthony Edwards, and then trusting that everyone else was not going to be able to beat them. In fact, the strategy that the Warriors kind of employed, I think, early on to take away Edwards is a strategy that the majority of teams try to use to take away Curry. Only Curry was able to get loose early, and I thought came out extremely aggressive as the Warriors basically rode that wave of momentum and were able to fend off a Wolves team that I think on the majority of nights we've seen for the past 1.5 months, probably come back and beat the Warriors tonight. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors Wrap-Up. Let's get out to Milpitas and talk to Grant. Wants to talk about, you didn't like the game, Grant. All right, well, let's talk about it. What's going on, my man?
I did not like this game. You know, I listened to the game, and as it was starting, I was like, oh, it looks like the league called and said, all right, we got to give the Warriors a win. I think they are just being completely propped up. I honestly do. They don't want a small market like Minnesota or Oklahoma City to be in the finals. So they're like, what are we going to do here? They got to give these guys a win. And the Warriors won despite their best efforts. My goodness. It was really just, it was a mess. I mean, I don't see this in college games. People out of bounds, 5 second violations, they can't inbound the ball, they can't stay on the court. I'm like, are you kidding me? I almost had an accident listening to this game. So it was just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, thanks, Grant. I honestly didn't think we were going to hear that take tonight. Although I will say, do you know that the Minnesota Timberwolves were in the Western Conference Finals last year? If they really didn't want a Midwestern team going deep. You also, did you see that the Wolves took 20 free throws in the third quarter alone? If the refs really wanted the Warriors to try and sway this thing in their favor? Look, I will 100% agree with you that that was, at times, a gross game, and it was an ugly game. But you got to win ugly in addition to sometimes winning pretty. Now, that, to me, is the next step that the Warriors could potentially get back to. And I appreciate the call, Grant. Sorry, I didn't mean to come at you so hard. But to me, winning pretty or effortlessly, yeah, they had the win against Philadelphia, but it largely hasn't happened. To me, that's what they were during the 12-3 start. Where they have to find a way to turn the corner is by winning ugly and winning with grit, which they have not been able to do. I mean, that fourth quarter, you're right, was it was pretty disgusting. The Warriors went up, I would say, after the 3:40 mark. They were able to survive a couple of Curry minutes with Andrew Wiggins, who I want to get to at some point because I thought he was the definition of gritty. He was sensational in this game, doing the small things, doing the dirty work that he doesn't always do, and I want to give him credit for that tonight. But, you know, Wiggins takes a quick three out of the 3:40 timeout. Dante DiVincenzo hits a three in response, two-point game. Curry comes off a Looney screen, who, by the way, you know, and I talked about this before, Looney knows how to play with Curry better than just about anybody outside of Draymond Green. I thought he did a lot of things tonight to help Curry get the looks that he did, including the one at 2:36 when Curry hits a curling screen, makes it a five-point game. DiVincenzo comes right back, hits another three from the left wing. And that's when, right at that point, Curry kind of curls off another Looney screen, misses an open three, and I'm thinking, here we go again. But after that, because Wiggins has a good drive after an empty possession for Minnesota, Naz Reid meets him at the top, no foul, clean block, takes him to the ground, loose ball foul. Wiggins commits the fifth team foul, which sends Naz Reid to the free throw line. They tie it at 108, and it's like they're going to get boat raced. But then, Kevon Looney makes perhaps the biggest play of the game, where he gets the ball underneath the basket, off a little dish from GP2, finds Curry open in the corner, fly by three on Naz Reid, they go up by three. Gary Payton, I'll call him Gary the Gambler, somehow allows Jaden McDaniels to slip by him backdoor to make it a one-point game. And then from there, Andrew Wiggins gets fouled, fighting through McDaniels' screen. Again, a gritty play, sends him to the free throw line, knocks down two clutch free throws to make it a three-point game. The Warriors choose not to foul at that point, not one possession left. Ant gets a good look to tie, misses. Wiggins gets the rebound momentarily, then it goes out of bounds. And then there's another boneheaded decision, which is where the Warriors somehow cannot free themselves from the Timberwolves to inbound the ball. Kerr has a timeout at that point, chooses not to take it. GP2 inbounds to Moody in the corner. He gets caught up with Gobert, throws it back to GP2, is not established. That's a turnover. At that point, again, you're like, what is going on here? Can the Warriors just find a way? DiVincenzo drives, it gets an easy basket to make a one-point game. Curry inbounds the basketball when everyone is thinking he should be the one to get the ball because he's the best free throw shooter on the team. He inbounds it quickly to, of all people, Gary Payton II, who is not a great free throw shooter, makes his first somehow, misses the second, and who gets the offensive rebound? Andrew Wiggins. And then, of course, he kicks it out. The Warriors make free throws. Anthony Edwards does make a three, down four. That makes it a one-point game, but the Warriors again win 116-115. Those last 3 minutes were maddening, and that I will give you, Grant. But those are the type of games that the Warriors have lost. Does this mean they're back? No, they got a lot more work to do. But that's the kind of game that they haven't won for the last month and a half. And to me, they absolutely deserve credit for that. That's just me. From the 626... statement, Dubs road win to end the trip in a game they had to get swag back before in the homestand. You know, I don't know about their swag being back, but I do know that Steph Curry had a message after the game that, again, was on the heels of what he, Draymond, and Kerr talked about earlier this week. Here was his message via ESPN.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that they need, that we need to make, can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive, and we showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better, and for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series, and we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So, yeah, that's it.
And again, that has me feeling some type of way because it's like, which Steph Curry is it? Will the real Steph please stand up? In the summer, with this was a guy that was saying, I don't want to play for a bottom feeder. A couple of days ago, it was a guy that sounded resigned and open to the fact that this team is not going to make much noise. And a couple of nights later, he plays a season-high 37 minutes, scores 31 points, helped them seal a nice road win against Minnesota, a quality Timberwolves team, and is talking about just get us into the playoffs. What's he talking about? Who is he? Who is he speaking to? Or is it just the emotions riding high after, again, I think a pretty nice road win for the Warriors? 888-957-9570 is the number. I'm going to step aside here and take a break. We'll get to Mark and Petaluma. Hang on. We'll get you on the other side. I also see your text rolling in here on Warriors wrap-up. Again, 888-957-9570. The Warriors win 116-115. One of the more wild wire-to-wire wins that I have seen in my short time covering the NBA. But the Warriors, it gets them back to 500 at 20-20, 10-10 on the road, and completes a 2-2 road trip. What side of 500 are you feeling, and how did you feel about that message from Curry? What do you think he is talking about there? I'll tell you what I think. Along with Steve Kerr, who had a message for pretty much everyone after the game, we'll get to that, as well as our Chilton Motti Crashing the Board segment on the other side. When we return to Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Dribbles it out to Curry. Pump fake. Fly by. Three ball. Got it! Oh, the net barely even moved. Curry with a pure shot from the left corner. And he claps and pumps his fist. He knows it's not over. But that was a big time bucket by number 30.
Now back to Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game.
Great call from Tim Roy. Of course, on the call of every single Warriors game here as they get the dub in Minnesota. 116-115. This is Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings with you, taking your calls. Again, 888-957-9570. We're going to hear from Steve Kerr in a second. But yeah, I mean, I think that call is, you're kind of emblematic of where Steph Curry is and where the Warriors are. He hits a big basket. He's excited. He's energetic. He's exuberant, but he knows that it's not over. And that's kind of what it felt like everybody believed that he was saying this week. Curry was, that it's over, that he's done. And while Curry may never win a fifth title, it doesn't mean that he's not going to try his damnedest to do it. And it doesn't mean that not playing these or that playing these games are meaningless. It doesn't mean that the rest of it, like, they're going to shut him down tomorrow. That's not how he's built. Steph Curry came out a couple of days ago and said, essentially, we would be foolish to mortgage the future. We have to be realistic. You have to be pragmatic in sports and understand where the franchise is and wanting to leave it in a better place. He then came out and played a season-high 37 minutes to the point where Steve Kerr is talking about the fact that he didn't like that he had to do it. The Warriors chased a game tonight with Curry needing to play that many minutes for them to win 48 hours after essentially what, you know, people perceive them to be waving the white flag on the season and the dynasty. And again, two things can be true. The Warriors may never get back to a fifth title position with Curry. It doesn't mean that the rest of his days are just worthless. And he's showing you this. Maybe he's also showing the front office that, you know, putting, you know, his you know what on the table and saying, like, I still got it. And I think on a night like tonight, that was a game that Curry, to me, again, he's given us a lot of moments before, but that was one of those, like, I don't care what age I am. I don't care that the Minnesota Timberwolves are one of the most ferocious and physical defenses in the league. That's a game where he came out absolutely firing. He came out and he set the tone offensively. And he went to work the same way he's gone to it every single day of his career, which is he's the man, and he's going to do everything he can to try and get his team a W. And tonight, it moves them back to .500. It concludes a 2-2 road trip. But it's also on the heels of what many are saying was the lowest point of the season. And that, to me, is meaningful to me. I think the 5-1-0 hits it right on the head. I think Stephen Kerr were resigning to the fact that there are no meaningful deals to be made more than waving the white flag. I agree. I don't think that they were saying that the rest of the season is just for naught. But I think that what they're telling us is there's a very real possibility that this is the team that they're going to have to try and figure out how to win with. And for one, I'm grateful for the fact that Steph Curry understands that, and then right after he says it, goes out and plays more than he has at any point this season, and spearheads the most effortful, energetic effort win that I've seen from the Warriors in the last month and a half. Like, that to me does mean something. And if I'm off my rocker, feel free to call in and tell me why. 888-957-9570. Before we get to Steve Kerr, I want to get to Mark in Petaluma, who's been hanging on patiently. Mark, good evening. What's going on?
Howdy. Let me know if you can't hear me too well. I've got some headphones on.
You good.
But anyway, you asked me where I think the Warriors are right now, what kind of club. You know, to me, it doesn't matter too much. Yeah, they're basically a 500 club, a little bit over, a little bit under. Depends. You know, sometimes teams can come together late in the season and really fool you. I remember hearing about teams in past years, like, I don't know, the Celtics at one time had a terrible first half, and everybody was saying, boy, after the first of the new year, they really put it together. And I think that club made it to the finals. Maybe that was in 22. I can't quite remember. But anyway, the biggest thing I want the Warriors to do, and, you know, as long as they try hard and they kind of play smart and they give it their all, then I can be proud of them, you know. If I don't want them, you know, just lagging and dragging and not trying. That's when I want to turn the radio off. I mean, if they had lost tonight's game, it would have been fine because they played hard and they did what they could. So I just don't like to. A couple of things I don't like all year long, though, is you know, this terrible free throw percentage. I don't know. I guess, you know, these guys are professionals and they're not going to get better. They only hit a certain amount all year in their career. But, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that really makes me sick because they're free throw percent. I mean, I could do what they're doing. So that's kind of disgusting. And, you know, some really boneheaded stuff, you know, when they just do dumb stuff on the court. That's, you know, too much of that I can't take. A little bit, yeah, everybody makes mistakes. Okay, so that's what I wanted to say about that. I also wanted to ask, and this might be a subject for a different night or maybe never, but I heard Tim Roy saying some kind of cool, like, little phrase or something. And that got me thinking, you know, over the years I've heard a lot of, like, cool phrases. I don't know, like, got his hand cut in the cookie jar. Got his hand cut, you know, that kind of thing. Or,
yeah.
Or oh, that was a poster dunk. Or kind of little phrases like that. And I thought it might be kind of fun if people want to, you know, give in with their favorite little, you know, bon mots over the year, favorite little things. Because it's kind of fun. There's a lot of those, and some of them are pretty crazy. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say. I don't know if you have any thoughts.
Thanks, Mark. Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that they're one of the worst free throw shooting and layup shooting teams is absolutely a problem. That was still an issue tonight. I mean, the fact that they shot 50% from three and were able to walk out with a one-point win indicates that, you know, inside the three-point line, they haven't been great this season. And tonight was a little bit better, but it wasn't as bad as it was in Toronto. My goodness. I will say, to their credit, they went 18 of 21 at the free throw line tonight. And guys hit some big free throws. Their only three misses came, I think, on two straight from Wiggins. He was perfect on his other 10. And then the last miss free throw by Gary Payton the second, which turned into a Wiggins offensive rebound. And that turned out to be the play of the game because it helped the Warriors escape a last-second opportunity by the Wolves. And in a way, it's like they almost got rewarded. Not to say that they should, but they got rewarded for missing their last free throw. But overall, they were good tonight. I thought the Warriors took pretty good care of the basketball for the most part. Only 12 turnovers to 26 assists. Oddly enough, it was Curry, and then Kevon Looney had the second most assists tonight for Golden State. But to me, you know, kind of going down the list, I just thought that there were a couple things I saw in this game. Number one, Curry, to me, the response from him tonight was massive. Secondly, Andrew Wiggins, like, I didn't necessarily think about Draymond Green tonight and if the Warriors missed him because of the energy that I think sort of the other big showed. In my opinion, that was, you know, Gui Santos, Gary Payton II, Kevon Looney, Trayce Jackson-Davis. I think they sort of combined to give you what Draymond does. But also, I didn't really think they missed Jonathan Kuminga tonight that much because of how aggressive Andrew Wiggins was playing. Typically, this is a night, like, Wiggins didn't shoot it well. He went 6 of 16, 2 of 8 from 3. Those nights in the past, I feel like, have been nights where Wiggins, and I don't know if it's because Kuminga's been on the floor or there's just been other dynamics at play, but that's a game where Wiggins kind of turtles up. And he still plays hard defensively, but tonight, he figured out a different way to help the Warriors when he needed to. And it wasn't like the Warriors were getting a ton of calls. It wasn't like they were benefiting from where the Timberwolves got 29 free throws. They shot 20 of them in that third quarter because the Warriors were in the bonus, I think, with like 8.5 minutes left. It wasn't like he was getting to the free throw line via fouls. Like, he was forcing the issue. And that's not a Wiggins that we've typically seen. So I absolutely think that he, along with his 18 second half points, 24 for the game, were massive tonight. It made me not miss Kuminga. The Warriors have missed Kuminga during his absence. The report tonight from Anthony Slater is that he was out of his boot along the bench, which is a good sign for him. Still expected to miss the remainder of the month, and the Warriors probably will end up missing him. But tonight, I don't think they missed Draymond. I don't think they particularly missed Kuminga. And I think it was because they got the effort and energy that's been lacking. Like, and I apologize, I think it was Mark and Petaluma. You're totally right about the result of the game not necessarily mattering, at least in my mind. But the reason that it didn't matter compared to the rest is because I saw an effort level that I haven't seen the last month and a half. Like, I think if the Warriors had played with the same energy that they did this evening, with the same intensity right from the start, Like, they wouldn't have gone 7-17 with whatever cast of characters you're putting together. That's just kind of what I believe. I think there was a different level of locked in that they displayed tonight, because I think that's the only way that they overcome what they nearly did, which was what they previously done, blow a game that they should have ran away with. Like, they're up by 24 in this game. Again, this was a wire-to-wire win that they won by 1 point. You don't typically see that. And it feels like everyone was kind of wondering, again, with 3 minutes left, with 2 minutes left, with 1 minute left, here we go again. They're going to blow this game. And to their credit, they didn't. And I think if they had played with that kind of energy from the start, they would not be 7-17 over their previous 24 games. That's the way that I read it. Some other thoughts from this game. I thought Trayce Jackson-Davis was awesome. I mean, really, the Warriors as a whole, and this applies to a couple of players, when they, again, there was, you know, kind of the effort display, but also playing within themselves. Trayce Jackson-Davis, you don't need to try and take it to the rack against Rudy Gobert or Naz Reid or McDaniels or the trees that the Timberwolves offer. He's not a great shooter inside or from outside the restricted area. That includes 3 feet and beyond. He doesn't have much touch around the rim unless it's an alley-oop. Okay, so what can he do? I thought he was awesome tonight on Julius Randle, who, by the way, is looking like a big problem for the Timberwolves. I didn't think he was very good in this game. He hasn't been very good this season. To me, that's the biggest difference in their roster, is swapping him for Cat. But I thought TJD did a really good job of not allowing Randle at all times to get to his left, and when he did, he made things difficult. He was also a menace on the glass, 15 rebounds, which, by the way, brings us to our Crash in the Board segment brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Trayce Jackson-Davis crashed the boards. He was fantastic tonight with 9 offensive rebounds. I believe he had double digits total rebounds in the first half alone. And again, playing within himself. I thought when Dennis Schroeder played within himself tonight, which is kind of the antithesis of, I think, the way the Warriors want to play, which was with pace. When Schroeder was playing, I think, a little bit slower, a little bit more pick and roll, not trying to do too much, I thought he played pretty well. Fouled out tonight, but that's also because of the peskiness he has defensively. I thought Buddy Hield also, you know, is a guy that we haven't given a lot of credit to because he's largely stunk when he's shot over the last month and a half. It was one of the reasons the Warriors have been the worst offense in the league. But Buddy Hield, I thought when he got that early mid-range jump shot and he saw it go down, again, just seeing one of those go through the rim early kind of locked him in. And look, he still made some defensive mistakes. Thought he lost DiVincenzo a couple times. Him against Anthony Edwards, it's just food on a plate. But offensively, and somehow, some way, this stat is true. The Warriors are now 10-0 when Buddy Hield scores 18 points or more. And that is something to note. When Buddy Hield has it going, the Warriors are better off for it. And they certainly were tonight. We will get to some of Curry's quotes after the game, because I saw him leaking out through Twitter. But right now, I do want to hear from Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, speaking after their 116-115 win against Minnesota. I'm sure he's going to be asked, and I was asked about, you know, kind of the follow-up on some of his thoughts, what it means for the future, and most importantly, the present. Here's what the head coach had to say.
I just loved our competitive fight tonight. Obviously got off to a great start. So it was like the exact same game as we played last time here a month ago. You know, the way our guys hung in, you know, down the stretch after they tied it, made some big plays, and I was really proud of them. You know, they're hanging in. Our guys are hanging tough, and we're doing everything we can to, just hang in the race, and that's a big win for us.
Who were kind of like maybe the mid-tier contributors tonight you felt like played a...
Really up and down the rush. I thought Wiggs was huge. You know, when Steph was out, he really took over the offense, got to the foul line, kept our lead in that third quarter, and down the stretch of the third. Gee's energy right away. Great to have Gary back. You know, just his athleticism. You feel Gary's presence out there. You feel him on the ball. And, the ability to put him onto Anthony Edwards and mix and match with Wiggs and Gary gives us a really good defensive 1-2 punch. And I thought, Moses coming off the bench and really knocking down shots, playing hard. We had him, at the four guarding Gobert quite a bit. So he did a really good job of using his physicality and making an impact.
Steph, 37 minutes, season high. Obviously, delivers a huge performance. Just what kind of command do you have for the game tonight?
He was brilliant from the start. I hate that his minutes are creeping up. I don't like it, but we got to do what we got to do. And hopefully, as we get reinforcements back, we'll be able to get him back down to that 32 range. But tonight, we had to kind of let it rip. And he's got a couple days before the next game. And it was important to get this win, and he got it done.
And then to follow on Guy for a second, just what did his connectivity add on both ends of the floor? Guy.
Yeah, Guy's energy right from the start. Would we go up 12-0 or 11-0 or something?
All those plays, too.
Yeah, he's just a big part of all that. The defense, the switching, the rebounding, the ball movement. He just makes really good basketball plays. He has a good understanding of the game, and that makes other people better.
There was a lot of big picture conversation about you guys over the last 2 days, and I don't know how much of it kind of was seen or not seen, but do you feel like at all that was maybe part of some of the charge you guys had tonight, particularly Steph seemed to kind of have some extra juice?
We didn't talk about it as a team. We're used to being in the spotlight, and if there's a story about our team, it's going to go everywhere, and everyone's going to talk about it, and I hope there's not a misconception that we're not fighting and scrapping and hoping, that we can, do everything possible to keep this thing going, because that's what we're doing. But it almost feels like the narrative became, the Warriors are giving in. We're not giving in. We're just not going to give away the future. That's the two totally different things. So we're fighting. You can see we've been competitive all year. We've had a few blowouts, but for the most part, our guys are competing like crazy. They play so hard every night, and just really nice to see them get rewarded, because it's a great group, great group of guys.
Well, that's Steve Kerr after the one-point victory for the Warriors in somehow wire-to-wire fashion in Minnesota. 20-20, 10-10 on the road, 2-2 on their road trip. They are back to .500 after falling below it in Toronto for the first time this season. I think the last place is the first place to start. I mean, again, you're hearing competitors, not guys that are going to just simply mail it in. Like, the Warriors, I don't know if that's what everyone just expected for the remainder of this season, but Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, and I know he didn't play tonight, Draymond Green, they're not guys that have ever done that. Waving the white flag is not in their DNA. You don't become four-time champions, or in Steve Kerr's case, nine-time champion as both player and head coach, by waving white flags. You do it by competing your ass off, by working in lockstep with the front office, and figuring out the best way to win now and in the future. And I realize that there isn't perhaps as much future as there used to be with that triumvirate, but there is still a lot of basketball left to be played this season. And I think the fact that they returned after their lowest point of the year in Toronto with their most effortful and energetic win, perhaps, well, certainly since the beginning of the new year, but the beginning of December, that means something to me. And I think that Warriors fans, there's absolutely reason to pay attention and believe in this basketball team. It just doesn't mean that they're going to swing and try and bring in something that's going to marginally improve them. I do believe, having listened to this week and watching this game and seeing the response that Steph Curry, who again played a season-high 30 minutes, dropped 31, helped them beat, I think, a pretty good Minnesota Timberwolves basketball team that, by the way, had won 4 of 5 coming in. I think that they trust their front office. And while a lot of fans may not, to me, that is irrelevant, because it's what Curry, it's what Kerr, and to some extent, it's what Draymond thinks about their situation. And they showed tonight that they have not given up. They haven't given up on this season. They haven't given up on the future. They haven't given up on what's left of their careers in Golden State. And that might be a hard truth for a lot of people to kind of, I guess, wrestle with, because they're used to the Warriors just breezing through the regular season and battling for championships. But we got to give these guys their respect. At least that's the way that I feel about it. And tonight, I think they earned that again, just the way that they've earned it over the better part of the 10 years they've spent together. And again, I don't think it's going to result in a title, but to me, it's like listening to people, and Curry, I want to play in a minute here, listening to people just accuse these guys of not having the guts to go to the front office, or not having the guts to stick it out and believe that they're all in. Like, to me, that's just not realistic of where they're at. And maybe I'm sipping the Kool-Aid, but I also think someone who talks like this is someone that I have to listen to.
Wants to compete and try to win and do my job. When you're in a situation like our organization is, where everything is rightfully so compared to, you know, that championship expectation, everything's going to get micro-analyzed. Obviously, what I'm talking about, Draymond's talking about, Steve's talking about, it's, you forget the part where we're talking about we're always trying to get better. Like, what does that actually mean? It's obviously not our job to worry about that on a daily basis. And these 3 weeks before the trade deadline, like, our job is to win as many games as possible. Thankfully, we got one tonight.
And he followed it up by saying this.
Anybody who thinks that I'm okay with just being an average basketball, on an average basketball team, is insane. Take whatever I said, I still stand on it, but that doesn't mean that you're not in a situation where you're trying to get better, make appropriate moves that help you do that. Mike knows that. We've talked about it. That's the expectation for me, trying to help lead the team where we want to go. Again, that doesn't mean that you're reckless. What people's definition of that is what I was talking about, the Twitter fingers thing. Like, trade machines are fun, but what does that actually look like? So we're going to handle our business. Mike's going to handle his. See where we end up.
Yeah, and tonight the Warriors handled their business. And look, there's also 3 weeks left until the deadline for the front office to potentially handle theirs. And I personally am not of the belief that there is a game-changing player out there for the Warriors to go get, that I personally would be willing to mortgage the future, which is unprotected first-round picks, and specifically Jonathan Kuminga, to go get. I don't think that there's a guy out there that is going to catapult the Warriors as they currently stand to, you know, a place where they can legitimately challenge for a championship. And I would identify that as a top four, maybe even five seed. You know, I think the Warriors, and look, they are two games out of sixth. They're also two games out of 13th right now in the Western Conference standings. And, you know, when Curry says, well, you know, who do you think I am being on an average team? If you think that's the case, that I'm okay with that, I'm insane. It's like, well, in one breath, it's like, well, you are. It's a 20-20 basketball team. But at the same time, you know, I believe if they play the way that they did tonight, which they showed for the first month of the season and has escaped them for the last month and a half, like, if they play the way they do tonight, I do believe that this is an above-average team, that this is not a 500 basketball club. And I would also remind people that last year they were in a worse position than they are currently. They were 18-22 at this point last year. They spent more time in 12th place in the calendar year by days than they did as a top 8 seed. Those two things have already been bucked by this year's group. Again, does that mean that they're going to win a championship? I don't believe so. But it doesn't mean we strip them of the opportunity to be as competitive as possible. And it's about the weight and the risk that they're not willing to take, both the players, it sounds like the coaches, as well as the front office, to try and marginally improve this team. To me, the path to contention for the Warriors, or the path to competitiveness, lies internally. And I think that's the place I want to leave you guys and girls. This is the kind of effort and energy that if the Warriors display in the future, they will not have a crisis of confidence, in the words of Steve Kerr. That kind of fire and competitive fire that we saw tonight in Minnesota, I do believe is good enough to get them to a place where they can challenge for a playoff spot. And that, to me, was always the goal of this team. I know that the 12-3 start kind of skewed us, but to me, I came into this season with an expectation the Warriors would be a 7 or an 8 seed, that 44 to 46 wins was the goal. I think that's still attainable for this team. And I might end up eating crow and being wrong, But after a game like tonight, especially in response to the kind of messaging and the kinds of words and stories and narratives that have been floated out about this team, that to me is encouraging because they did not roll over, they did not keel, and they fought tonight when they didn't necessarily have to. So to me, I got to give these guys a lot of credit tonight. Again, they'll be against Washington on Saturday. Obviously a gettable game. You'd really hope that I don't have to meet you next time I'm on Warriors Wrap-Up and pretty much renege everything that I'm saying right now if they lose to Washington. But again, the Warriors, I don't think can be overlooked, but they also, of course, cannot overlook their opponents. So that's where I'll leave you with tonight. A big appreciation to everybody that's called in, everybody that has texted in. Big thank you to Mark Grandy, sitting in for Cam Williams, our usual Warriors Network coordinator tonight. Big thank you to Stephen Rizzotto, a.k.a. Pasta, cutting things up for us. That's right. No, no, no. 415. All that sound you're hearing turned out quickly and timely is courtesy of Stephen Rizzotto and Mark Grandy. So big thank you to those guys. My name is Evan Gittings saying so long from our 95.7 The Game studios. One last time, Warriors victory tonight in Minnesota, 116-115. We'll have all your coverage tomorrow on 95.7 The Game. Make sure to make it a big day from 6 to 6. Bonte and Shasky, Steiny and Guru, Wilder and Dibs all day. In the meantime, my name is Evan Gittings saying so long. You've been listening to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.